Today's a very special Sunday because I've had about 10 people ask me, why are you wearing a suit on the third or fourth Sunday? This is actually the fourth Sunday. And because there'll be five saying, why are you wearing a suit on the fourth Sunday of the month? But I might just do that anyway, just to throw a curveball at you. But, you know, the reason I'm wearing a suit is because today we are going to be licensing Cameron Cooper, our youth minister here. And we are going to be laying hands on him and setting him apart for even a greater ministry than what he's already been doing. It took him a little while to get through school of ministry, but that's okay. He finally got through it. And not for him, but he's, you know, he works and he's doing and he's being a blessing. And I hold licensing and ordination very, very dear, very, very sacred, you know, and that's why we do two things here with licensing, and then the next step after that would be ordination, depending upon what takes place. But I'm going to share this morning on about the callings of God, and I'm going to share about the anointings and laying on the hands, because God's called all of us. Many times we look at things and we think, well, if I'm not in the so-called fivefold ministry doing this, if I'm not an apostle or a prophet, you know, or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher, then I'm nothing. But that's not true. Hallelujah. Because we're all called. Right. Amen. Every one of us is called. I mean, you can be called, hallelujah, to just whatever you've done and whatever you do in life, even a vocation. Paul said it like this in Acts chapter 20. He said, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry God has given unto me. Every one of us has a course. Everyone else has a thing in life that we're endeavoring to do. And so while I'm talking, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 11. Hallelujah. And we're going to read verse 29 there and just share some things. Because believe it or not, we are called to do the things God's called us to do. We are called to be witnesses. We are called to be Christians more than we're called to anything else. You got to be a Christian first, amen? Amen? And you're called to bring life. Amen. Amen. We are called to bring a reason of the hope that's within us. The Bible says that you need to be ready so that when somebody asks you why you're so excited, why you're so hopeful, aren't you afraid, that you can give an answer. And that answer is Jesus. That answer is because you know the end. You know the back of the book. We win. You know that all these things are supposed to come to pass. Amen? I mean, there are things that we see and understand about all the stuff that's going on of what's taking place and what we've entered into now as a country. So we need to pray. And we don't need to be afraid. We do not need to be afraid at all. There is no fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, amen? But a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And, you know, and perfect love casts out all fear. Because Jesus loves me. Amen? But when you don't understand your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in its fullness, what happens is you get to thinking, well, hey, I'm saved, I'm okay. Well, you know, if you're born again and you really truly know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, then guess what? You are okay. But you're not done. Amen? You know, you've got all the right ingredients. You've got all the right things. You're ready to go. But now you're ready to be baked. We get ready for the fire to come. Hallelujah. To refine you and to create in you some good, good things. Amen? Here in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says this. It says, in the King James, it says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In the New Living, it says, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Amen? And, you know, there's also a scripture in the Bible that talks about there are many that are called, but few that are chosen. And that always confuses a lot of people, because if you read what Paul wrote to all of the churches, and every time he was writing, to the Romans, to the Corinthians, to the Galatians, to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, to the Thessalonians, all of the ones that he wrote to all these cities, he called them all the called. He said the called. And he also said, you are called and you have a calling. And so callings are calling in the sense of we've got to stir up the gift of God within us. Amen. And as we stir up the gift of God within us, God shows us things to come so that we can have joy and peace, but also so that we can affect the world that is around us. Amen? And as we understand that, then as Christians, we realize God's given each and every one of us assignments. Because not only does God call us, he equips us. Hallelujah. And he also gives us assignments. Job said it like this. He said that, I like this. This is in Job 23, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. He said this, I have not gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed and treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unchangeable. Who can turn him? And what he wants to do and what he does, you know, for he performs that which he had planned for me, or he gives me divine appointments, and of many such matters he is mindful. Which means God has some divine appointments for you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's walking in his plan and his purpose that blesses you and benefits you. Amen? It's amazing how many people get discouraged and they get frustrated with their life because they're trying to do it. They're trying to figure it out. Instead of asking God to give them a little bit of leeway. Give them a little bit of, hey, what is it God may want for my life? What is it that God's designed for me to be? I like something that A.W. Tozer wrote. I'm going to read it to you. He said, let every man abide in the calling wherein he is called, and his work will be as sacred as the work of the ministry. It is not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It is why he does it. It's the motive. The motive is everything. Let a man sanctify the Lord God in his heart, and he can thereafter do no common act. Amen. What that simply means is this, is that God calls us to be who we are. Amen. He calls us to be Christians and to let our light so shine. And it needs to shine now more than ever. We don't need to be fussing, fighting, and argument. We don't need to be trying to defend anything. We need to begin sharing the love of Jesus. We need to be sharing the truth of the Word of God. Listen, Jesus is coming back. There is an end for this thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen? And so, the funny thing about God is in the Word of God, he doesn't put one thing above another. He doesn't. He doesn't put one calling above another. And when God calls people into full-time ministry, per se, as being an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, a teacher, and calls them into doing this, he just makes them a bigger servant. Because we're gifts to the body of Christ. We're gifts to serve you. Amen. In the calling of God, in the calling of God that we have, and the honor of that call. We've got to make sure, you know, because the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance or they're not being withdrawn, is that we've got to be committed to the call, not just accepting the call. And that's, as Christians, the same thing. We're not just, you know, accepting that I'm Christ, accepting that I'm born again, accepting these things. We've got to be committed to that. You guys all know the ham and eggs theology, right? You just got to remember those things. You know what the ham and eggs theology is? That chicken's involved. It laid an egg. It's involved. But that pig, he's committed. So you got to be a bunch of pigs. You got to get committed. You got to give of yourself, you know. And there's going to be things that take place in that. And as we realize that God has a calling for us. He's called us into the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. And I know that when God calls us, he equips us. And I know that we have to prove the calling that we have. And God says that we are many members in the body of Christ, and none of us, hallelujah, don't have the same office or the same function. And the reason being is because God made us all unique. Amen? And in that, though, God said, according to the grace that's given unto us, let us serve one another. Let us honor one another. Let us allow God, hallelujah, to be God in us, and let it shine out, because the gifts that you have, the body of Christ needs. So the Lord hath need of you today. He hath need of you to understand who you are and what you have. And if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, then God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has something supernatural for you. you know, what happens is that all of us have insecurities. All of us have things that we think, but I can't do that. No, you can't in your own self, but with God, you can do all things. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Hallelujah. And many people believe, well, what I do is no big deal. You know, working in the nursery, being in the parking lot, being security, being an usher, you know, working in the kids' church, hallelujah, being on the prayer team, all of those are so vitally important to the body of Christ and to the church. Amen? All of them. Most of the time we think, well, who am I? You know, it's a good place to be. And you need to ask yourself that question, who am I? And what is my purpose? Amen. Because when you ask those questions there, God begins to tell you how special and how much he loves you, and how much he is, and how much he's directing your steps, and what you're doing, hallelujah, means. Because you know just what A.W. Tozer said, it's not what you do, it's the why of why you do it. Why are we here? Why are we giving? You know, when you understand the why behind things, it doesn't bother you to do it. Because you understand you're having a purpose. A purpose because you're touching lives. You have a purpose because we're touching this. Hallelujah. You know, but I found out that most Christians are Gideons. Do you know the story of Gideon? If you don't know the story of Gideon, he's hiding out. Israel's being under, they're under bondage, everything else, and he's hiding out from the Midians, and he's in behind the wine press there, and he's trying to stress things out, and he's hiding, and all of a sudden an angel shows up and says, "Mighty man of valor, awesome, Superman, woo!" And Gideon's going, looking around, going, "Who in the heck are you talking to?" He said, "What?" He says, "Mighty man." He sees Gideon as this mighty man of valor. And so what does Gideon say? "You got the wrong dude. You got the wrong guy. Listen, I'm from the smallest family in the smallest tribe. I mean, come on. I'm a nobody." He says, "No." God says, "I called you." God speaks those things right there. He's spoken into him. And of course, then Gideon asked him, "Hey, what's going on?" He said, "No, I'm going to do this." Of course, we know in the Old Testament, Gideon had to put out fleeces and stuff. Thank God we don't do that. But he gets things there and he goes, "Hey." But then Gideon, he raises up and he has 30,000 guys. He's like, "Woo!" And God says, "You got too many." He said, "Look, 30,000 versus 300,000, this isn't too many." He said, "You got too many." He said, "Cut it down." He cuts it down. God says, "You still got too many." And if you know the story, he gets it to where he only has 300. So he has, the odds are 1,000 to 1. Isn't that awesome? Great odds. And then God tells Gideon what to do. And it's crazy what he tells him what to do. Hallelujah. And we see that it was great deliverance and great things to take place. But the problem is that many of us look at our own selves and think, you know, who am I? But you need to find out who you are. And not only be accepting of things, but let's get committed. Let's get committed to the things of God. Because when you get committed to the things of God, then things begin to take place. But not only did Gideon go, "Oh, I mean, who else? Moses. God, you got the wrong person. I stutter. I can't talk right. All right, I'll give you Aaron." But did you notice that Moses did all the talking? I mean, the only time Aaron started talking, he messed up, made the golden calf, got all kind of bad deals there, you know. I mean, Jeremiah thought he was too young. Amen. Sarah thought she was too old. Right? She's like, I mean, Sarah laughed. Isaiah got to hear a conversation in heaven. He says, "Woe is unto me of a man of unclean lips. Who am I?" Hallelujah. And the angel took the coal and cleansed his lips. And then Isaiah says, "You need somebody? I'll go. You need somebody? I'll go. And if I can't go, I'll send." Amen? Yes. You know? How many men, when Peter first met the Lord there, and Jesus did that miracle with the fishes, what did Peter say? "Hey, depart from me. I'm a sinner. Peter thought he messed up too many times, but Jesus said, "No, you didn't." Amen? Paul, the great apostle Paul, he said of himself, "I'm not worthy to be called an apostle." Amen? He said, "I'm not, because I persecuted the church." But see, when you understand the calling of God, and that's what I said, and the reason I'm building up on this is because that many are called, but few are chosen. And then when God sets apart, says, okay, I want you to go into this part, as Cameron's going to be doing here, and Samantha. It's not just Cameron. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God calls them both. He does. That's why she has, she needs to be here and receive, because, you know, ministry is hard. If you're in the ministry and you're working, it is hard. But it's so rewarding, so much fun. I've been having fun because I've never had a real job. I haven't. I've been doing ministry all of my life. You know, you say, what do you mean I haven't had a real job? Now, I've been dealing with people's problems, being a pastor in a church, doing this. I've got a, you know, organization, corporations running and doing. But when I say that jokingly, because ministry is not a job, it's a calling. And it's something I never retire from, something I never stop doing. I'll do until Jesus takes me home. But it's a calling. And I'm not only accepted that, but I'm committed to that, to watch God do great things. And that's why I take it very holy, because he has called us with a holy calling. Amen? God's called us with a holy calling so that we can receive all that he has. Hallelujah. And we can begin to walk in that. We can begin to walk in the things that God has for our lives. It's such a reward. But you know what? Somebody asked me one time, well, do you identify with this? Or you do identify as being Pastor Mark? Or do I identify as doing this? Because everywhere I go, I'm a pastor. No, I identify with being a Christian. That's why being a pastor is fun. Because it's not based on what I'm doing. It's based on why and who I am. And if you're not proud to be a Christian, you know, we got a lot of people proud of their heritage, proud of all these different things. But if you're not the proudest about being a Christian, then your Christianity is weak and it's not where it should be. Sorry, folks, it is. We don't need to go try to find all of our heritage. Thank God from where you came from. Thank God for all these things here. But here, Christianity, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. And since he's called us to be holy, we need to walk as holy. We need to be holy in all of our kind of, but we need to be so excited of just being a child of God, because we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Amen. And that calling is simply ready to give an answer. We're ready to do those things there. So his callings that are our calling, they're calling for you and I, hallelujah, to step up to the plate. See, Cameron and Samantha are going to step up to the plate and take on greater responsibility. They're going to take on greater anointing, but they're also going to take on a greater commitment to the call, because they're declaring, that's what I want. I'm desiring. I'm doing this. And when you make that commitment, hallelujah, there are things that take place in your lives. Hallelujah. It's like this. The more you grow in God, the tighter it gets at the top. It means you can't do some things that other Christians can do. Because you're leading and because you're showing forth. That's why many people don't want to get into leadership or do things, because they want to stay down here so they can have fun. No problem. As long as you know you're saved, it's all good. But when God chooses you and he calls you, then we have to take hold of it and we have to allow, hallelujah, him to mold us and to make us, because we'll never be happy. We'll never be satisfied if we don't finish our course. Amen. If we don't finish our course, amen. Because God's called us all, like I said, to serve. He's called us all to serve in some capacity. It's amazing to me that the minute people get busy, they quit church first. They quit what they're doing at church first. They quit everything spiritual. They got to quit because they want to do something naturally, and it messes them all up. You know, and it's not because, well, I just don't have, yeah, no, we don't have time. But the problem is that one of the reasons you're being blessed is because of your honoring God, you know, and doing the things that God's called you to do. And it causes problems in that. Hallelujah. I mean, in the old times, you know, the old line, you know, if you read about history and about these guys that were doing so much for God, they'd say, oh my gosh, I've got so much to do. I'm going to have to get out 2 hours early and pray for 6 hours today in order to get what I need to get done. Instead of pray for 4 hours that I do every day, I'm going to have to get up 2 hours early and pray for 6 hours to get what I need to get done that day. I know that goes over real big, like a lead balloon, because nobody wants diligence. Nobody wants to be disciplined to do the things they need to do. But the funny thing about it is they got a lot accomplished. Amen? And we put so much pressure on ourselves you know, to fulfill the will of God. And all it is what we need to do is to believe and do whatever the Holy Spirit tells us to do and just obey the word of God and rest in his presence, rest in his joy, rest in his peace, that he's going to accomplish it. He is going to make it come to pass. Amen. And I've never understood too. I've always kind of, it's always kind of marveled me, you know, with folks, hallelujah, is that when we get into this place of, oh, it's just so hard to be a Christian. No, it's not hard. It's joyful and wonderful to get to serve God and have peace on the inside to know that no matter what, God's got me. See, that's why these end times, and folks, we are living in that. If you don't really believe we're living at the end time, guess what? We are living there. Nothing like what's taking place has ever taken place before. All right, and we just need to be ready. Hallelujah. Not in fear. No, man, we just get busy. You know, we just get busy. We get doing the things of God, and we don't, it's not like we don't plan. Someone says, well, if the end's coming, why are we building the building? Because we don't know how far the end's going to be. Amen? And besides that, we're just listening to the Holy Spirit, allowing God to be God. We're believing what we're doing there. We're saying, okay, Lord, here we are. Hallelujah. How many of you know that your part is the believing part and God's part is the performing part? He said there's going to be a performance. He's going to put it on show. But our part is the believing part. Believing what? Believing what his word says. Believing that we see these signs. Believing this. Believing what God said is going to come to pass in our lives. Amen. And so this morning's message is the same thing that I'm ministering to Cameron Smith. We've got to sanctify the Lord God in our heart. Amen? Amen. Because just like in the Old Testament, when Joshua said to the people before he took them in, he said, listen, we've got to sanctify the Lord God in our heart because tomorrow God's going to show off. He's going to lead us into the promised land. And tomorrow God's glory is going to go before us. And guess what? If we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, which simply means that he's more real to us, hallelujah, than all the other things around us, that we're looking to do his will, his plan, his purpose. Amen. And see, to be a believer means you're going to have to speak faith. You're going to speak words of life. You can't look it around and see all the events that are going on and begin to go, oh. You need to begin to speak life into those situations, speak faith into those situations. Pray, hallelujah, for God's peace in those situations. Pray for God's hand, but also to rise up with strength and say, glory to God, hallelujah. Lord, what is it you want me to say? What is it you want me to do? Amen? God's got his hand upon us. There was a song that was given by the Spirit of God in 1988 and at a meeting that I was at, and it just was supernatural, and it actually changed my life forever in a lot of ways. And as it came forward, it was a spiritual song. You don't know it. I mean, I've said it several times here, many times, just read it. But it just transformed, and it was so funny because it was spoken by the Spirit of God at the end of the service, sang and everything. And you know, the funny thing about that song is it just branded in my heart and it just was there. And it was something that the Lord said, you need to meditate on this. You need to make sure that you have this because I want to lead God and direct you. Now I know, 1988, many of you weren't even born back then. Okay, hallelujah. And, you know, I was looking at some things here and I thought, oh, that was only that day. And then I thought, you know, that day was 43 years ago. Or that day was 35 years ago. And I thought, yeah, that was a few days ago. Not too bad. But I want to read it to you. I want you to listen to what the Spirit of God says because this is for you and I today. He said, Lord, your plan, and not the plans of man, your purpose in your service is where we firmly stand. Pursuing, Lord, your perfect will, your plans and purpose to fulfill. And Lord, we'll never stop until the day you come again. A foundation built on any other, Lord, we know it will not stand. And though it may be good, and though we think, hallelujah, we could, unless the Lord builds the house, we know it will never stand. Your purpose in your holy service. I have to ask yourself, what is your motive or my motive? What is my intention? And whose signature and image is displayed when you are finished? Can everyone see that it's not really me, but it's through God's divine intervention? What are you pursuing? And for whose glory are you doing? All the labor and the physical strain, is it for God or for your own gain? Or does your spirit yearn for God to turn this world around for him? If your pursuit is his, you've found what happiness is, and the glory in your life will never grow dim. And you see, it's just as anointed now as it was then. It brings a holy hush on you. And what happens is that I'll never forget that. When I heard that, it just branded on my heart, because God says, if you'll mold and make your life toward that, make sure that everything you're doing is not for your glory, but for his glory. Awesome. Whose desire? And all your work and your physical strain, because sometimes I can get a little ahead of God and try to help him. I know none of you never do that. You're always back there waiting to see everything. But I get impatient at times. So I jump out and I do things. But praise God, I've always reminded myself, Lord, it's always for you. I want to make sure that what I'm doing is for your glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Also, too, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to change gears here, because we're going to just talk about it. And don't worry, you know, we're mixing two things together, but it's all good. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hebrews chapter 6. Because we're going to lay hands on Cameron and Samantha here. When I say we, Pastor Pam and myself, we're going to lay hands on them and set them apart and let them believe that for supernatural, that God's increasing and causing them to step even over into more things. Amen. But here in Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about the doctrines of the Lord, because not only is it just for them, because I don't believe that God's just calling them to do what, you know, they're called to do, but God's calling all of us. I really feel like that's why when I was praying about this day, this service, this thing here, because I said, okay, Lord, you know, I don't want to do that, but I also know it's for the body of Christ and it's for Harvest Bible Church. God's turned us around and God's called us into the kingdom for such a time as this. Yeah. And, you know, we're not playing games. We never have played games. We're not just going through the motions. We are not trying to just survive. We are not going to survive. We're going to thrive. We're going to keep going forward. We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are going to just do what the Spirit of God says to do, no matter what. And we're going to honor God in everything, no matter how wild, how crazy it seems. I am determined to that. I want to finish my course. I haven't put up with people for over 46 years not to finish. Okay. I haven't given up my life and doing anything not to finish, and not to finish strong. Amen. I'm not doing this just to go for this way. I'm not going three quarters of the way. I'm not going halfway. I'm going all the way. Amen. And that's why we're doing. That's why we're endeavoring, because we believe God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has things for us to do. Amen. Now let's begin reading at verse 1. He said this. He said, and I'm going to read to you out of the New Living Translation says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from dead works and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instructions about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. The King James Version says this, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, in the New King James, because the Old King James says the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of the doctrine of baptism, or of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. Why am I reading that to you? Because we're going to lay hands on them. You know that there's the doctrine of the Lord is there's a ministry of laying on of hands. Amen. Do you know that God put healing in your hand and my hand? He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God's anointed you. Every believer can lay hands on the sick. Every believer can pray for people. Every believer can transfer the anointing of God. Amen. There are those that are especially anointed that have anointing on laying on of hands that have been given gifts of healings and things that for that nature and just certain gifts that God has given. And thank God for that. But we don't see that a lot in this day and age because we don't talk about it a lot in this day and age and because people don't know. And if you don't know and you don't have, understand what you have, you will never give it away. Amen. And it doesn't matter if you had that those gifts and if God give you a special anointing, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. Because you can't do anything. Same thing that we would do if we were praying for folks, whatever. It's God that does it. Amen. It's God that one that makes it manifest. Thank God. It means that you've got to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God and the gift that God has given unto you. Amen. And it humbles you. It doesn't exalt you. Amen. The only one that gets exalted is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because God wants us to do his works. Remember John chapter 14, verse 12 says, Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. Amen. So he tells us some things. He said, here's what I can do. And then all through the Bible talks about laying on of hands and transference of anointing and the power and the presence of God. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Thank God for the presence of God. Amen. Thank God. But he said, we should already know all about this. We should know about repentance from dead works. We should know about all the baptisms that take place. These are the six fundamental principle doctrines of Christ that we should be well grounded in. Amen. And one of them that's a doctrine, one of them that's a principle, one of them that's something so fundamental importance of these things here, and that's laying on hands. Because we've diminished what God's done in our lives. You're a child of God. You've got an anointing that abides within you. Amen. Hallelujah. God has great things in store for that. Because we want God's plan, God's purpose, his thing. So in laying on of hands, hallelujah, we are believing for the anointing to be transferred in there, hallelujah, and allowing God so that they can finish their course. But I want you to finish your course. Amen? So listen, many times people say, God, I'm so busy now. What do you mean God's going to want me to do more? No, he's going to want you to do his will. Hallelujah. And you'll find out that your busyness won't be as busy and you'll find out you'll get a lot more done, hallelujah, and accomplish a whole lot more doing what he's called you to do than doing what you've just been doing. Amen. We see God's hand, his plan. And then, you know, Paul told Timothy, because Timothy was, you know, his son in the faith. And Paul told Timothy, he said, you got to stir up the gift of God within you. See, there are you in the body of Christ. Let me just take a little side journey here and then we're going to get back to this thing here. But the word of God has been implanted in you. There are gifts in our body, hallelujah, that you're just not yielding and sharing because you think you got to get up and do the whole thing in front of everybody. And God wants to use you on an individual basis to touch lives. Amen. There ought to be so much more ministry going on outside out these doors than there is inside these doors. It ought to be that we come together and say, wow, I laid hands on the person got saved, person got healed. Wow, God showed me this. I was here and he opened up my eyes. God gave me a word for this. God told me, man, life is good. Instead of life is tough. Now, God knew you were coming. I'm sorry about that. You had to come on Cameron Samantha's day, but we have to share with him. But we're just bringing it over you because guess what? Because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God's given us some things, you know, not to lift us up in pride, but to allow us to love the body of Christ. And also allow us to touch lives, to change the course of people's lives. Amen? And it's just getting somewhere to have somebody to be able to pray, somebody to be able to touch. Because we get this thing of thinking, well, I've got to be his, I've got to have this. No, you don't have to have a pulpit ministry. You just have to understand that you have a ministry that touches lives, that changes everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you got to believe in it. Amen. We're going to set them apart. We're going to pray and we're going to believe God. Hallelujah. That Cameron and Samantha is going to be more anointed from this day forward. And the things that, because something happens. And that's why I'm dressed up, because I believe as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a dignity that needs to be here. There's an honor that needs to be here, because I believe that this is what's taking place here is supernatural. You know, and you know, I've shared this story before, and I'm not lifting up myself, but I like to prove things out. Because somebody said, well, you proved that. I mean, I was in full-time ministry for 4 years before I ever got licensed and ordained, because I didn't want to do this. Because I grew up in a church that had a whole bunch of licensed and ordained shoe salesmen. Everybody had a license. Everybody was ordained. Everybody got everything. You know, when I graduated from college, if people couldn't find somebody to license them or do anything, they went online and got it themselves. Because you can do that. You can go online and get licensed and ordained by anybody. And somebody said, and I was in full time. And then he said, because people say, hey, I want you to marry me. I said, I can't. Praise the Lord. Can't perform that. You know, can't do those things. And the reason being is because I wanted to make sure this thing was what God called me to do. And I wanted to make sure I wanted to do it, because I grew up in church, so I knew how it could be. Now, thank God, all of my years, I've had great people. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have. And I don't know if that's just because God knew if I had bad people, I would have quit. So, but no. And the reason I say that is because I wanted to prove the ministry out. And so when I got licensed, ordained, when I got, you know, ordained, when Brother Hagin Sr. laid hands on me and I got ordained through him, it was something very, 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 very special, because it was something that I said, I'm doing this for the rest of my life. I'm never going to change. And the funny thing about it is that when I took my daughter to college, and I went to college and I told them what I did, they said, well, you might not be doing that next week. I said, I'm a pastor. I have church. They said, well, you might not be a pastor next week, because they quit all the time. This was at a Christian college. And I said, I've been doing this for, you know, 20 some odd year, 20 at that time, 25, 26 years. I said, I think I'm going to stick with it. They said, yeah, but I don't know. This was the college counselor. I said, no, you don't understand. I looked across. I said, you have no idea. No, you don't understand. I made a decision. When I was licensed, when I was ordained, made a decision. I didn't just accept the call. I'm committed to this call. I'm committed to this call. I'm never going to change. And she stopped, because the presence of God came into the room, and my daughter sitting here, and she said, you know, I think you mean it. I said, oh, I do. Oh, I do. So they accepted her. She didn't accept them, but they accepted her. So, you know, but anyways, what I share with that with you is because that's what I want to understand, the call that's here, hallelujah, and to believe it was. Because there's purposes for laying on of hands. And I want to give you those, because I believe there are those of you that are in here that God wants to use you in some other more supernatural ways. Somebody says, you're opening up a can of worms. I know, because all my pastor friends, they say, man, you don't ever want to tell them that. You want to keep control. I said, I don't care about control. I don't want to control nobody. I'm having enough trouble controlling me. Praise God. Amen. But these five things, and then we're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to pray, and you guys are going to be a part of this, and you're going to pray, and you're going to stretch forth your hands. Amen. And we're going to see God do good things. First of all, one of the number one ways, or the first time that it's mentioned about laying on of hands, it's mentioned in Acts chapter 6 when it talks about getting the deacons, getting those people that have served tables, all those fine men that are full of the Holy Ghost and power and wisdom, get them to serve tables, get them to minister to the people. Amen. Hallelujah. And they laid hands on them and they set them apart into the office of the ministry of helps. The ministry of helps, man, setting apart to be a children's minister, a nursery, usher, you know, greeter, hallelujah, prayer, parking lots, security, all those things. God set a people apart to do things. Amen? And it's important. There's an anointing that needs to take place. The second one is in Acts chapter 13. Hallelujah. And I want you to go there, because we're going to stay there. That's what we're going to do. Acts chapter 13. And we're going to stay right here. And then I've got scriptures that I'm going to speak over them really quickly. I'm going to do this really fast, because I'm not going to keep you here. But And that's Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, which is, hallelujah, when it says that there were certain prophets and teachers at the church at Antioch in Syria, where Barnabas and Simeon called the black man Lucius from Cyrene, Manan, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. It says, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work or the ministry to which I have called them. And so after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. And the very next verse says, so Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's setting people into ministry. It's setting people into things that need to be and need to step into. Also, number three, he talks about, I told you there was five things about laying on, five things it talks about in the Bible that people did. Number one was establishing people in the ministry of helps, establishing their deacon. Number two, putting people in the ministry of callings of where God set them in, through apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The third thing is about ministry of the Holy Spirit, laying hands on people to receive. Amen. The Bible talks about that. Fourth thing is that, believe it or not, God's called us to lay hands on people to impart blessing. Hallelujah. Spiritual blessings and things that'll do. You know, and it seems like if you study the ministry of Jesus, when nothing else would work, laying on a hands worked. Amen. When nothing else worked, laying on a hand seemed to be the thing to work. And then also laying on of hands, because the Bible says we're supposed to all lay hands on the sick and see him recover. Amen. And see the hand and the presence of God upon that. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I got it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Cameron and Samantha, I want you guys to come over here. Pastor Pamela, I want you to be right there in front of them. I'm going to read these scriptures over them. We're going to pray, and then we're going to come together. Amen? Amen. You just be right down there. I'll be right down there with you in just a second. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys just come right in the middle here and stand in front of me, because I'm going to charge you. The Bible declares that we need to charge because there's some things that are very important. I told Cameron, I said, we're going to do this, but we're going to do this because I believe this. It is something, because there's an anointing that's going to take place. Also something that God's going to call and do. Amen. We're believing this couple's going to be with us forever, but we never know that. Hallelujah. I'm asking the Lord for that, but that's the way it goes. Okay. Amen. But these scriptures here declare in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 31 says this. It says, for you see your calling, Cameron and Samantha, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He's also confounded the base things of the world and things which are despised, and hath God chosen, yea, and which things are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his own grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Peter 1:10 says, wherefore rather, brethren, give diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. You have not chosen me, says the Lord, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Acts 14:23 says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, they had prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord on whom they believe. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4:1-8. He said, I charge you, therefore, before God, and I charge you, Cameron and Samantha, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their hearts, their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. But you watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For Paul said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and stretch forth your hands. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. According to the word of God, Father, we honor you. We love you and praise you and thank you, Father. As Cameron and Samantha stand here in front of us, Lord, I thank you for the calling that's upon their lives, both of their lives. Father, that as you called them into the ministry for such a time as this, this hour, to minister not only to the youth, but to each and every person that they come in contact with. And Father, as we anoint them, we thank you and praise you for your hand upon them. Hallelujah. And we set them apart. We set them apart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this, not only being accepting this call, but being committed to this call and committed to you. And we've recognized your anointing upon their lives. And thank you, Father. Hallelujah. That anointing is going to increase more and more and more and more and more and more. In Jesus' name, we lay our hands on them right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we set them apart for the ministry and the anointing of God that flows. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your hand upon their lives. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, turn around and smile at them. Let them give them a big hand here, guys. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Look at that. God is good. And we're expecting great things. Because God is going to do great things. Amen. We really do. I really do. I believe that with all my heart. You know, we have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. We really have. Hallelujah. And we are in unprecedented days, okay? And I'm not going to give you an end time speech or end time thing, but I am going to share with you the urgency of the hour, okay? Now is not a time to just go through the motions. Now is a time to rise up and say, God, here am I. Here I am. Every day, just letting God lead, guide, and direct your steps. Show you things to come. Amen? Open up your heart to receive. Because God has great things in store for us. God has really good things for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Lord, I know this has been different this morning, but it's just a charge to the body of Christ at Harvest Bible Church. It's a charge to us. Hallelujah. And Lord, it's a charge to Cameron and Samantha. But Father, thank you. Thank you that you're calling people into responsibilities and you're giving us assignments. Assignments of where we're at. You're ordering our steps. And as you order our steps, Father, we thank you that you've got some divine appointments in those things. Some divine appointments that we need to be right at the right time, at the right moment, to be in contact with the right people. Lord, I thank you for that. Your plan and purpose will be fulfilled at Harvest Bible Church. We believe that with all of our heart because we yield ourselves as vessels you can use. We yield ourselves to you. And Lord, I thank you for this wonderful congregation. thank you for these wonderful people that are here and the wonderful people that are watching. And Lord, your hand upon them. Lord, even though we've talked to the body of Christ today, we never want to have a service without giving people the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because people may have come just searching and looking, but Father, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice or anyone watching that they're not ready to meet the Lord, they're not sure of their salvation. They know of Jesus, they know about Jesus, but they really don't know him as their Lord and Savior. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, or you don't know him as your Lord and as your Savior, you've never believed in your heart or confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But if you've never done that, we want to help you. Or you may say, I just need to come home. I need to come back to God. Oh, God has his arms wide open. He loves you. 1 John 1:9 says, if you'll confess your sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if you're here this morning and you know God's tugging on your heart, you know God's touching you, and you need to let Jesus be the Lord of your life, or you need to come home, welcome home. You need to come home. Just raise your hand real high. Let me pray for you. Let God touch your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. See that? I see that. Hallelujah. See that? Amen. I see that hand. I do. God loves you. He cares for you. He really does. Father, we thank you and praise you for those that lifted their hand, and Father, for those that probably should have. But Lord, thank you that you're bringing them back home. That when they lift their hand, they say, Lord, here am I. You know that my life is not where it should be. You know I may not be doing the things that I should be, but Father, here am I. And Lord, thank you that you're like the prodigal sons. Father, that's a type of you. You run to them and you wrap your arms around them right now. You forgive them of all their sins. You cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for touching their lives as only you can. Lord, we honor you today. I thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. Lord, it is that. We declare your lordship once again. Hallelujah. And we're going to do this as the body of Christ. We're going to say a little different prayer here. This is for us. Say, Heavenly Father, I consecrate and dedicate my life to you. Lord, I truly mean it. I consecrate and dedicate my life to you today. Father, you lead me. You guide me. You direct my steps. Let me be an answer of what people need. Father, let me be ready to give that answer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You said you would give me the words to speak, and you would show me what to do in every situation and every circumstance. Thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because I've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. And now, Father, I pray for every person here. So precious, so valuable. Father, end time warriors, but also we are the last hour workers. We believe that we're in the last of the last days, Father. We don't know. It could be 40. It could be many of us may go to heaven before you end, but we know that we're in the last of the last days, because on the day of Pentecost, they said it was the last days over 2,000 years ago. So, Father, we thank you and praise you that you're ordering our steps. Father, thank you for these men and women of God that you've called into the kingdom for such a time as this. And Lord, I thank you that, yes, we're challenged. Yes, we're set apart. But Father, we're going to finish our course, and we're going to finish our course with joy and the ministry that you've given unto us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your hand upon Harvest Bible Church and upon all these people and all the people watching, Father. Lord, we thank you that we're going to hear of the signs and the wonders and the miracles that people do outside of these four walls. Hallelujah. Doing ministry. And as we go out these doors, Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives. We honor you for it now. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen.